is September 14th, the feast day of the exaltation of the cross, called the triumph of the cross. And this feast day only occurs every 7 years on a Sunday. Normally we'll celebrate it during the week, but it really is a great privilege whenever this feast day falls on a Sunday so that the entire church can celebrate this feast day of the triumph of the cross. Now, I brought with me one of my most special relics. In fact, it is the most important relic that I have in my collection of about 60 relics of different saints and things. But this one is a relic of the true cross, a splinter from the cross upon which the Lord died. And this was given to me by an archbishop from Rome, and it comes with all the official Latin certified documents. Okay, so now sometimes people say, well, there's so many relics of the true cross, if you added them all up, they'd make a battleship or something like that. That's just propaganda. That's not true. If you added up the relics of all the authentic documents of the true cross, it would not even equal one-third of a cross beam. So I want to look for a few moments about the history of how the true cross was discovered by St. Helena and how this feast day came about. St. Helena was a very holy, wealthy woman. She was the mother of Constantine, the Roman emperor in the 4th century. And St. Helena was so interested in going to the Holy Land. She left Rome. She went to the Holy Land to do excavations, to do archaeological excavations, to try to bring back to Rome as many of the holy relics as she could find. And she brought back a great number of them. One of the things she especially wanted to do was to find the place where the crucifixion took place, Calvary. And so she went and she was able to discover the place right outside the city walls of Jerusalem where Golgotha was, the hill upon which the crucifixions had been done. It was very easy to find that place. And she also discovered all the remainder of the wood that had been piled there. Of course, it was difficult. Well, which piece of wood was the one upon which Cross died? It was only God who could reveal that to her. So she took the different pieces of wood to the sick and the dying. And she asked the Lord to reveal which one was upon the wood upon which Christ, the Son of God, died. And when a certain piece of wood was brought to a sick person, he was miraculously, instantly cured of his illness. And so that was a sign from God to St. Helena. So Helena had the first church built over that spot called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. If you go to Jerusalem today, you can actually see a more recent church built over the same spot where the crucifixion took place. Now, this particular original church that St. Helena built in the year 335 was destroyed in the year 614 when the Persians came up and invaded the Holy Land. They began invading the Byzantine Emperor, the Empire, in the year 602. They took Antioch and sacked Antioch in 611. They came into Jerusalem, destroyed the churches in Jerusalem in 614, and they took the relics of the true cross back to Persia with them. And it's a very sad time for the church. It's a very sad time for Christianity to see the enemies of Christianity come into their empire, sack their churches, burn the cities, and take with them the holy relics, such as the true cross. It's interesting, though, as a side note, there was one church that the Persians did not destroy, and that was the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. Because when they came into Bethlehem, they saw the ancient frescoes or murals, the paintings of the wise men who were dressed as Persians. And so when they saw the wise men on the walls of the church, they did not destroy that church. And that church is one of the oldest churches in the world still standing. Well, the Christian Empire had to do something to get back the relics of the true cross. So Heraclius, a Christian emperor, decided to take an army to go into Persia to bring back some of these holy relics. And so 15 years later, in the year 629, he brought about a great military campaign which went into Persia, which brought back then the relics of the true cross. And today, September 14th, in the year 629, the relics of the cross were triumphantly brought back into the city of Jerusalem, and that's how this feast day originated, with the bishop Zachary, who had been imprisoned by the Persians, who Heraclius had released, and the emperor himself were carrying the relics into the city of Jerusalem. An interesting account, though, says that as the emperor was about to carry the relics, the wood of the cross, into the city, he was unable to move. An invisible force stopped him. And the bishop next to him, very holy man, said, well, perhaps we're doing this with too much pomp and circumstance, sort of contrary to the spirit of how Christ carried his cross into Jerusalem, you know, 600 years before. And so the emperor took off his gold crown, he took off his beautiful golden robes, and he dressed in humble sackcloth and walked barefoot, and then he was able to carry the wood of the cross into the city of Jerusalem, and this feast day was established, the feast day of the cross. But what does the cross mean in our lives? As Christians, it's the very center of our life. It represents that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's the very heart of the gospel. The cross is at the very center of our lives. The vertical bar representing our love for God, the horizontal bar representing our love for neighbor, our love for others. And really, the cross is a sign of contradiction. The cross perhaps represents God's will as contradicted by the will of humanity. Not only does the cross represent how much God loves us, that he gave his only Son, but it also represents man's cruelty, that we would crucify the Son of God, and that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He shed his blood for our sins on the cross. So when we see the cross, when we see the crucifix, we see a sign of contradiction. We see God's love for us, but we also see what our sins did to the Lord. And each one of us, by our sins, is responsible for the death of the Lord. That he loved us so much, he took our place on the cross. Isn't that a powerful thought? That because of original sin and our own personal sins, that in a sense we deserve death. But the Lord said, no, I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to die in place of you. I will take the weight of your sins on my own shoulders, and I will die for you. I really can't wait on Good Friday the next year. The Mel Gibson movie is coming out, The Passion. I think it's going to be very powerful. I've seen some previews of it. And I believe he's going to be coming to the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. on October 13th, Columbus Day, with Jim Caviezel, who plays the person of Christ. I saw that advertised. I have to double check to make sure they're not just saying that Mel Gibson's going to be there, but he's actually going to be there. If he is, that would be an amazing thing to hear his testimony of how he is making and has made this movie of The Passion with Jim Caviezel, a wonderful, very holy man who's playing the role of Christ. So we'll see in that, I think in that movie, what the crucifixion was really like and how much the Lord suffered out of love for you and out of love for me. And really the cross, I've always said, is the price tag of our redemption. It's the price tag of how much you're worth. And when you go into a store and you see something nice you want to buy, then you look at the price tag and you faint, right? Wow, how can that be that expensive? Imagine if people sell art or sculptures, some of these things run $1 million. That's the price tag for some of these very valuable things. We know how much you're worth. You're worth the blood of God, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a powerful thought? That when you look at the price tag for your soul, the price tag for your life, it's infinite value, much more than $1 million or $1 billion. The price tag for our salvation hangs right there. And it's called the cross, the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a powerful thought to think about on this feast day of the exaltation of the cross. And the cross can help us in times of suffering. I know when people that I visit are in the hospitals or nursing homes or prisons, I try to give them a cross to hold or a crucifix to meditate upon. St. Louis of Montfort, St. John Vianney, St. Thomas Aquinas, on their deathbeds as they were dying, they would hold the cross and they would look at the crucifix, and it gave them comfort and strength in time of suffering. I'm sure all of us have sufferings in our lives, some physical, some emotional, some spiritual. When you suffer, look at the cross, look at the crucifix, because that's where we draw our strength, is from the Lord. What a comfort that is to know that God knows what it's like to suffer. God knows what it's like to have a terrible headache, to be filled with pain from head to toe. God is not distant. He's not separated from us. He has become one of us. He became man in our Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross for me and for you. It's something we should meditate upon today as we celebrate this feast day of the triumph of the cross. Make sure that in your home you have a cross or a crucifix somewhere in a very prominent place, so that when you're praying, you can be reminded of what true love is. True love is unconditional. True love is sacrificial. True love is total. And that's what true love is. The beautiful feast day of the cross reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for me and to die for you. We have to accept that in our lives and try to live in union with the Lord. And now I'll give you a blessing with the relic of the true cross. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.